In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. It's very natural to be drawn to the second half of this gospel reading, where we start to hear things about taking up your cross. After all, many of you are here because there is a way in which you are following that. You are coming to Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis, knowing that there is a task that lies ahead. We rush past the first part of this reading. And our text for today actually is going to be chapter 16, verse 23 here. But Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Welcome to your first day of class for the 182nd academic year here at Concordia Seminary. That would seem to be a really odd selection to start off with today. After all, is this not a place that is dedicated to the things of God? If there is a group of people who are focused on the things of God and not the things of man, surely it would be the ones that are gathered in this place for this purpose, a place dedicated to the one true living God, to his Savior, Jesus, guided by his Spirit. Surely here, of all people, we are going to be the ones that are guided by the things of God and not the things of man. Right? Would we? And yet the text causes us, forces us, to pause for a few moments. Where in my life might I be like Peter, putting my mind on the things of man and not necessarily the things of God? We'll return to this point in a couple of moments. But first of all, let's focus for a moment on Peter. Now, let's face it, Peter gets made into a little bit of a caricature from time to time. And this can be one of those places where we have that tendency to make a caricature out of him. But remember, Peter at this point was not living on the same side of the cross and the resurrection as you and I live on. You and I have the benefit of looking back on hindsight and understanding what Jesus is talking about. Peter did not have that privilege. So what are the things that perhaps Peter may have been thinking about? Well, if you look back a few chapters in Matthew and the accounts leading up to this, you find some incredible things that Jesus is doing there on behalf of the Father. We see Jesus doing things that are turning people's hearts back to their God so that they are calling upon him. There are two outstanding times where Peter himself witnesses Jesus doing the mighty act of feeding a multitude of people out in the wilderness with the bread of God. There is walking on water, something that Peter himself, for a brief moment, gets to engage in as well. There is a healing of a woman's daughter, as well as many other unnamed healings that take place. And the teaching that Jesus does. He engages in teaching with authority, and it actually seems to be turning people back to their God to remind them that they are the people of God. And so all of these are great things that Peter is seeing. And I dare say that in ministry, if you were seeing a lot of these things happening where you were, you would be saying, "Wow, God is doing amazing things here. This is a great thing." Why would we want it to stop? So perhaps those are some of the things going through Peter's mind. And then Jesus begins to talk about death. And Peter's thought could be, "Why would we ever take such a great thing as this away? This is fruitful ministry, Jesus. Why all this talk of death?" Perhaps Peter thinks Jesus needs to focus on all the good that is happening. That's giving Peter some of the benefit of the doubt. Could there also have been some maybe less than honorable reasons that Peter may have been focusing on Jesus not going to die? Well, let's face it, being one of the disciples of Jesus had also led Peter and the others to have a little bit of notoriety, kind of a certain status, simply by being one of the disciples of Jesus. Maybe he liked to soak in that shared glory just a little bit. Or perhaps Peter was simply uncomfortable with the talk of death. After all, as loved as Jesus was, it was not like he was universally loved. There was indeed resistance to Jesus. And perhaps Peter just simply did not want to face that reality. Peter may have been thinking some of these things. And yet, as we give Peter the benefit of the doubt, we may also see that Peter only sees from a limited perspective here. Peter sees the good that Jesus is doing. He sees the benefit of the ministry that Jesus is conducting among God's people. But it's a limited perspective. Peter does not yet see a whole world that needs not so much physical healing, not so much feeding or great teaching, but a world that needs redeeming. That's something that Jesus sees that Peter doesn't yet. And that's where we then get the rebuke from Jesus to Peter. So let's take that text now and apply it to where you and I are today, August 31st, 2020, a very strange year by all means and accounts. And we ask ourselves, as we stand on the first day of classes of this academic year, what are some of the things that you're setting your mind on? Now, obviously, as we're at the first day of classes, your work here, whether it's work of being a student or this is the place of your employment, those are some of the things you're thinking about. What do I need to do to make this happen? How can I best glorify God with my studies or my work? You might be thinking about things like masks and mandates for masks and gatherings. And you might be debating whether these are good, right, and salutary for us as citizens of this nation. And by the way, if the seminary says do it, you're pretty wise to follow what your seminary is telling you to do. Now, there may be some here who are thinking that the next several months are really, in many respects, a hoop to jump through, until you get to that time where you have a call in hand and you are going out to serve your God. Yes, you will be serving your God wherever he may be sending you. But what is the proper place for that countdown that you may already have going on in your head or on your calendar? It's worth thinking about. And yeah, we could go on and on and on, because the reality is, I really don't know everything that is going on in your mind. A good number of them very likely do focus on the things of God, but I would also dare say that there are many there that are focused on the things of man. So how do you discern where those thoughts are and what they're focusing on? After all, Peter may have thought that he was looking to the things of God, but God had a much larger picture in mind, one that he would later on reveal to Peter. And so how do you take those things that are in your mind and discern if they are the things of God or the things of man? Now, I'm going to admit, I am hardly the expert on that either. The good news is, though, that God provides ways for us to dwell on that question and to discern his Spirit's leading. Now, some of these things I'm going to tell you are nothing new to you. You've heard them before. You'll hear them again. You yourself may even encourage others to do these things. And they call for discipline. And they call for reflection. And so the first one is simply reflection upon Scripture. Many of you have a journaling Bible of some kind, and you have heard the call to let yourself slow down as you engage with the Scriptures. To write down those thoughts, maybe in the margins of your Bible, maybe in a little booklet of some kind. It's a great practice, not only to battle the tendency of making caricature out of the people that we encounter in the Scriptures, but it also lets the Spirit calm you down and slow you down. And in many ways, it doesn't even really matter which section of the Scripture you may be reflecting upon. It may not be something that speaks directly to something that is on your mind. And yet we find that the Scriptures are so interwoven that even if the section that you're reading may not be talking or addressing something that you're thinking about, God and His Spirit are still forming you there. And that will have an impact as you seek to discern God's leading. Reflection on Scripture. Prayer. Prayer is obviously an invaluable part of discerning God's leading. You've probably heard it before, but we'll say it again. In prayer, the practice is really good, not so much to ask God to bless our plans, but rather to bring us in alignment with where God is working and what He is doing. We seek His will, yes, indeed, in the things of salvation, but also in our interactions with each other. And how that impacts what we do. I think this is something that Martin Luther himself had in mind. You may recall this from perhaps your confirmation days, and you will encounter it again here, from the third petition. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does this mean? The good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also. How is God's will done? God's will is done when He breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, think our text, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let His kingdom come, and when He strengthens and keeps us firm in His word and faith until we die. This is His good and gracious will. Reflection on Scripture. Prayer. And then the thing that we actually started off our text with today. Jesus pointing to His death and His resurrection. We find that early on in our reading. Jesus is preparing His disciples for His upcoming death and resurrection at Jerusalem. He is pointing to the necessity of salvation and redemption. And that is something for you also to keep in mind for yourself, that you are one who has been redeemed and who needs that redemption of Jesus. That's the for you part. And so as we seek to see if we're focusing on the things of God or on the things of man, one of the crucial questions we can ask ourselves, is this pointing to the crucified and resurrected Savior and Redeemer? How so? Do I need to clarify what I'm thinking in order to better do so? Oftentimes that causes us to reflect on our motives, which can sometimes be a bit of an uncomfortable experience when we discover what's in there. And yet that's something that our God would also have us to do. Reflection on Scripture, prayer, and pointing to the crucified and resurrected Savior. These are ways that we help to focus on the things of God and not the things of man. And yet, at the same time, what we find is that our God has given us indeed a great deal of guided freedom on his part in the ways that that gets lived out among us. He gives us a great deal of freedom to focus on the things of God. And yet, even in that freedom, we still find boundaries. We're guided by his word, by that which God himself has spoken and revealed to us. We find a freedom that is bathed in prayer, that what we do is in line with God's leading and guided by his Spirit. And then we seek to ensure that whatever it is that we're doing is pointing to the crucified and resurrected Savior. So maybe as we stand here on day one of classes of the 182nd academic year, this might actually be a fairly appropriate text to start off. Asking our God to bring in mind for us the things of God. May his Spirit be doing that for you, for the sake of Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God guard your hearts and minds and keep you in true faith to life everlasting. I invite you now to stand as you are able for our hymn 685, Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus.